To the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
Good afternoon, Bob. It must be Monday.
Doug McBurney's here in studio.
I'm with the shadow government, and I'm here to help.
Doug, thank you for being here. Of course, as we approach Election Day.
Yes, it's right around the corner.
We lose friends.
Shedding them like,
Family members.
Shedding them like fleas.
Church members.
We haven't lost
listeners.
Have we lost any actual church members in this cycle?
We might be immune now after all these years because this has happened with Bob Dole, John McCain, George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, and now Donald Trump. So all child killers. And the question only is how many children do they want to kill, but all child killers. And so you don't do evil that good may come of it. While you were traveling the globe.
Yeah, I was.
You were busy.
Got to make hay while the sun shines, as they say.
You work for a living.
I do.
And so we talked about the one thing that the Christian Trump supporters know that they don't know.
The one thing Christian Trump supporters know that they don't know.
They don't know that they know it. Sometimes you know something, but you don't realize you know it.
Yeah.
They know what the fear was like for the Lutherans who voted for Adolf Hitler. They know.
Wow.
They know because they're afraid of Hillary Clinton.
They are absolutely terrified.
Right. So if you fear God, you'll do rightly.
Mm-hmm.
If you fear Hillary, you'll do wrong.
Mm.
So it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. And when Christians support child killers and then lie about it and minimize it and justify it, it's just like in Old Testament Israel, they sacrificed children. They were negotiating for a better future.
Mm.
Prosperity.
That's what it's all about is prosperity, Bob. Jobs,
right.
jobs. The border, the Second Amendment.
And the Supreme Court.
And if a few children have to be killed, I mean, is that really?
Right, no. Right. So anyway.
The life of one innocent child trumps the border, the Second Amendment, jobs,
everything.
Taxation, regulation,
right.
All of it.
You don't negotiate. A child's right to life should not be reduced to a second-tier negotiable issue.
No.
Okay, he wants to kill these kids, but he's good on this.
The Supreme Court.
And he's not good on the Supreme Court. He advocates all child killers.
Yeah. Plus, he's a liar.
And he's,
he's a liar.
And he says that he wants to nominate judges like Scalia, who was a child killer.
Just unbelievable.
I mean, just go to prolifeprofiles.com, click on Scalia's profile.
Mm-hmm.
He was against the right to life. He said, if you pass a law banning abortion in all 50 states, I will strike it down.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That was at the height of our conservative justices right there.
Yeah.
He's the standard.
Well, right. So anyway.
Now, before we go on to something more entertaining.
Yeah.
I want to point out that, and I don't think anyone has caught this yet, except probably you, is the fact that homosexuality is being now mainstreamed within conservatism by the Trump campaign and the events of recent months.
Oh, right. Doug, yeah. I got to.
You've got Peter Thiel, who is now a mainstream conservative.
Yeah.
He's a homosexual.
And Milo, Milo,
the Greek. Yeah, he's now
Breitbart.
Yeah, he's now a mainstream conservative.
And you've got Drudge. I don't know, when Andrew Breitbart died, many people thought that Drudge must be a homosexual.
I've always had my suspicions about him.
I mean, I don't know if you remember the love note he wrote do you remember it?
It was dripping. Yes.
It was disgusting.
It was odd, and it was kind of creepy.
A dear Christian friend from back east, I call him, touch base, how you doing? Half hour into the conversation, Cheryl and I are sitting on our front porch.
Nice.
Nice autumn evening.
Oh, yeah.
It was beautiful.
Colorado is great for that.
And so half hour in, he says, so, of course, I'm voting for Trump. I'm like, of course. And I said, why would you support a child killer? You don't support a child killer, right? It doesn't matter.
Seems obvious.
If it's Herod and you're one of the Herodians.
Right.
Or you're sacrificing a child to Baal or Molech. You don't do it for prosperity or for any reason. You don't agree to it. You don't consent to support someone who tells you, I kill kids. So he said that homosexuality was the big issue. It's destroying the nation, the church. And so I said, okay, take that issue. Trump had thousands of conservative Christians cheering, standing on their feet throughout the RNC, cheering homosexuals.
That's right.
And how about his running mate, Mike Pence, as governor of Indiana, his big religious liberties week? He signed a law that says if you don't do what the homosexuals tell you to do, like support their wedding, they can sue you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your friend back east says, okay, I was wrong. How could I have ever thought?
No, of course not, because this lust, this competitive lust to beat, you know, the Nazis wanted to beat the communists, the Marxists.
Right.
It's a competitive lust.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Hillary they fear, not God. And so, hey, given the chance to defeat the Democrats, that's a lust of the flesh that's hard to control.
Yeah, well, and it becomes obvious when you're willing to throw out rationality and morality.
Morality.
And
right.
your Christian faith, your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're setting it aside so that you can vote. It's depressing.
Doing right never requires predicting the future. You never have to predict the future to figure out what's the right thing to do.
Oh, that's huge.
So if you say, well, should I support this child killer? Well, if I don't, maybe more kids in the future will die. No, you don't do it. You don't have to make those predictions. What you have to do is obey God.
Yeah. Amen.
So you don't support a child killer.
All right. So let's change the subject, Bob. I watched a special on the JonBenet Ramsey case. By the way,
oh yeah,
there was a new special. There's been some further investigation.
Well, the DNA evidence has, you know, it's interesting, Doug. All the people who've said it was an intruder, and we, along with so many others, debunked that almost as the crime was being reported.
Of course.
And this new DNA evidence is actually old evidence that was misreported.
Right.
Remember, DA Alex Hunter held a press conference after the grand jury and said there are no charges?
Yes, I remember that.
He made the whole world think that the grand jury voted for no charges when they voted to indict John and Patsy Ramsey for murder.
In fact, that's what the grand jury had voted.
And it was many years later we found out. Well, that happened twice. The second time with Mary Lacey, the next DA, and she held a press conference. She sent a letter to John Ramsey 8 years ago saying, we are exonerating your family. We have new DNA evidence.
That's right.
And the DNA evidence shows it's not your family. It's an intruder. Mm-hmm. It turns out, thanks to an investigation by the Boulder Daily Camera, of all people.
Yeah.
And Nine News.
That's right.
That the DNA evidence did not point to an intruder. It's DNA of a mixture of people.
Right. Which I was stunned when they said that, Bob. I was with you when you wrote the clue that breaks the case.
The clue that breaks the case, which is still online. It's at shadowgov.com.
Yep.
And it's at kgov.com/Ramsey. And so we argued the fact that this is contamination, that it's DNA from multiple suspects.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the whole story, but John Ramsey, after they decided that we got to stage the scene, he needed to get rid of some evidence, like, for example, the roll of duct tape that they ripped off a piece to put around her mouth. Too many fingerprints on that.
Right.
And the shoes that he used to put footprints next to the body in the dust on the basement floor.
Yeah, he had could to get have had a whole bag of stuff he had to get
whatever.
Rid of. Yeah.
He had to get rid of that stuff. And so they took the underwear that Patsy Ramsey had bought as a Christmas gift. She bought it at Bloomingdale's in New York. The detectives know, Steve Thomas, they found the receipt.
Yeah.
When JonBenet's body was brought up by her father, the first thing Patsy Ramsey said was, where did those underwear come from? They're not her underwear.
Bizarre.
Well, Patsy had bought that underwear for a friend, for a, you know, a cousin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Who buys underwear as a gift?
Well.
Anyway, and JonBenet threw a temper tantrum. She wanted the underwear. So Patsy said, all right, I'll put them up on a shelf until you're bigger.
Right.
Family and friends of the family knew the underwear story. That underwear had a little bit of DNA in it.
Yeah.
Not from the family. So what I presumed is we know Patsy Ramsey was lying about the underwear. So when they're staging the scene, John has to leave the home to dispose of this evidence. He brings that underwear with him and just dabs or somehow goes to a men's restroom or even maybe something worse.
That was your theory. It was like a gas station toilet or the equivalent. Yeah.
Or something like that, and get some transfer DNA onto the underwear. And then he puts the underwear on her. You know, they've been reading crime books, and so it make it look like it's somebody else.
Yep.
So when Mary Lacey said we have DNA evidence showing it's an intruder, she was lying.
Yeah.
And now it's exposed.
Now, was she mistaken or was she lying?
No, she was lying.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Well,
the DNA evidence today is clear, as reported, that it's contamination from multiple individuals.
Right. Which matches your theory, by the way.
It does. Perfectly consistent.
Yes.
And it disputes the primary evidence for an intruder.
Yeah. And which I think that should have been obvious, but maybe DNA wasn't as accurate back in 1999,
was it?
When did they process that evidence anyway? It's 97.
In 2008 is when Lacey sent that letter, the exoneration letter.
Okay, so DNA analysis was fairly sophisticated by that
time. Oh, yeah, right.
Anyway.
Yeah, they were using, that was a trace DNA test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, a bit more vindication of our JonBenet, the clue that breaks the case.
Yeah, and more evidence that her parents murdered her and covered it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, can we get on to something fun? Let's talk about Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner. And the 600 and what is it? How many 6.5 million emails is it now?
Oh, geez.
Every time it comes on the news, they add another zero
they
to
add
how many
zero.
Emails they find.
It's up to 650,000.
Okay, 650,000.
It's just a stunning. Doug, when this news broke, I laughed for an hour on Friday.
I laughed out loud.
It was hysterical.
Yes.
How is it even conceivable that the director of the FBI, James Comey, is going to relaunch this right before the election? And it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of folks. So we need to talk through why this has happened, and it's partly the Hillary mentor syndrome that Huma is suffering from.
Huma's suffering from the Hillary mentor syndrome.
Right. Oh. Because to Hillary, who is the enabler in chief.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
30
sexual
years.
Immorality is irrelevant.
Right.
And if it's your husband, you just lie about it, cover it up in order to advance your own agenda.
That's been Hillary's MO for 30 years.
Yeah. And so Huma, when she's 19 years old, starts working for Hillary.
Who Hillary picked up, by the way, as an intern at the White House.
Yeah.
Right around the same time that Monica Lewinsky was there.
Yeah. Right.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, her then, you know, later to become her husband, Anthony Weiner, asks her out to go for drinks.
Yeah.
And Hillary, and she didn't want, she said no, Huma. And Hillary said, oh, come on, you young people, go on out.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah, so Hillary helped to set them up.
Wow.
But anyway, Huma then is married to an unfaithful husband. And so she does what she has seen in her mentor.
Mm.
She just, because he still has political ambitions, Huma has ambitions.
Right.
Divorce is a little bit of a distraction. And so she just, you know, stand by my man kind of Democratic female political ambition type of response.
Yes.
She's an enabler. So Anthony Weiner, like Bill Clinton, realizes he can get away with anything.
Yeah.
And it further destroys him as it further destroyed Bill Clinton. And both of them started going toward children then, juveniles. Because Bill Clinton, with his best bud,
Epstein, yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein, billionaire pedophile, convicted pedophile,
right.
Flew on his private jet, 25 times internationally most of the time?
Yeah.
Including to his pedophile island in the Caribbean?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what the depth of the depravity of Bill Clinton. But we see now with Anthony Weiner, we see it.
We see. Boy, you're not kidding.
We
it's
see
right
it.
There in your
and
face.
And so when the wife, when and it doesn't have to be an ambitious political wife, any wife who's an enabler, whether it's sexual immorality, unfaithfulness, alcohol, drugs, she's going to reap what she's sowing.
Mm.
She might be the primary victim, but it comes crashing down on her head. And she ends up suffering. So the victim ends up getting blamed.
Wow.
And it's unavoidable because the enabler bears some major responsibility.
So watching the destruction of Hillary Clinton's political career is enjoyable, but it there's a lot of sad things going on here in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Could we just get back to talking about destroying Hillary Clinton's political career? Because that's a lot more fun to talk about than to analyze the depravity of these broken, horribly twisted, sick people.
Well, yeah. So how did all the emails get on this laptop?
I think that in a world where blackmail is currency, which is the world that Huma and Wiener and Hillary, that's the world they live in.
Right. Bill and Hillary Clinton, they have things on everyone around them.
They have things on people. That's how they work.
That's a major part of who they've
been. So in that world, for your own protection, you make a copy of everything that you hide just in case.
So Huma, you're saying,
I think
somehow said to some IT guy, we need an offsite backup. Here, back everything up to this computer.
Here's a bag of money. Keep it quiet, but we need a backup.
She might have just done it as though it were an official act.
Well, if she's...
We need an offsite backup of everything. For posterity's sake, put everything on this computer.
Yeah.
That's one way.
And somehow it ends up on Anthony Weiner's...
Well, that might have been their computer that they backed it up on.
I guess you can't think of everything in a criminal endeavor.
As a criminal, right?
It's stunning.
So whatever emails Hillary deleted, they might have just been miraculously undeleted. The sermon at Denver Bible Church yesterday was the WikiLeaks verses.
Oh.
We went through all the WikiLeaks verses in the Bible. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. Like, your sin will find you out.
That's right.
And Jesus saying, what is whispered will be shouted from the housetops.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What is uttered in the dark will be proclaimed in the light. Mm-hmm. So all these WikiLeaks
WikiLeaks verses.
Yeah, the WikiLeaks Bible verses.
This is why I go to Denver Bible Church. You don't get a sermon like that at any other church.
And Doug, in fact, one big mega church nearby, the sermon was, you got to vote for Donald Trump. But Donald Trump, no name of any candidate was mentioned.
Of course not. Well, that would be.
Because of, 501c3.
There's regulations.
But at our church, we mentioned Donald Trump being a child
killer.
Quite
often, yeah.
Yesterday, we mentioned Hillary Clinton being a child killer.
That's right.
So, and then Paul said, some men's sins precede them to judgment.
Mm-hmm. Like Adolf Hitler. Everybody knows his sins, right?
So that's a WikiLeaks verse. Because you find out.
That's right.
It's exposed.
That's right. Other men's sins come
later.
That's right. We're going to find out on Judgment Day.
So at any rate, the Bible is loaded with WikiLeaks verses.
Yeah.
We talked about, in fact, Psalm 75. Don't think that you are going to be affirmed, put into power by the West or by the East or by the South. It's God who's either going to elevate you or take you down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Hillary campaign, they're looking at, we got the West sewed up. We got the Northeast. We're having trouble in the South. Yeah. But all that is irrelevant.
That's right.
It's not election day that matters. It's Judgment Day.
Amen.
So that was Denver Bible Church.
That is really true. Now, I don't want anyone to think that we endorse Julian Assange or WikiLeaks because
unlike, they're criminals.
Unlike Julian Assange, God has the right to all the data. He has every right to all
of it. Yeah, that's true.
So,
hackers are criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was teaching the kids' church. I'm going to have to go back and get a tape. The WikiLeaks sermon? I can't miss that sermon.
The WikiLeaks sermon.
That sounds like a classic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. So, Doug, what else do we got?
Well, I just want to say that I don't think that there's been conspiracy inside the FBI to release this information right before
the election. No, it just happened.
I think this is the happenstance of history. This is just the way things happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
After all, James Comey fell on his sword for Hillary in July.
That's right.
With all the evidence of the... It's not an email scandal. It's a national security scandal. All these national security crimes and public corruption, all of it. And he took a bullet for her.
That's right. And he took a lot of heat.
And immediately after he did it, Bill Clinton was mocking him.
Yes. Now, I missed that. You caught that.
You're very mocking him for being a fool for ever getting into this in the first place. And what a stupid press conference and what a fool he was. And the Hillary's own campaign criticized him for wasting all that time and research. So instead of being quietly,
grateful.
Great. I can't even use that word with the Hillary campaign.
Yeah, I know. It's hard, it's hard to find words.
But, like, wow, he just helped me get away. I don't have to go to prison for the rest of my life.
Right.
Hillary for the big house, 2016.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Instead of being grateful, they just attacked him.
Yeah, wow.
And so at the time, I thought, man, that could come back. That could really come back on them.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it didn't take long.
No, it didn't. And it's because of her criminal behavior is why this all happened this
time. Yeah, criminal behavior and being enabler-in-chief and teaching Huma to be an enabler,
yeah,
a deputy chief.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sexual morality is inherently destabilizing. That's why in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, adultery it's listed there, right?
Yes, still, as far as I know, yes.
You're a former Marine.
It was when I was in.
It's a crime.
It's a criminal,
It needs to be a crime. Babineer Live is one of the only media outlets in the country that has advocated for recriminalizing adultery. And that's been for 25 years. We've argued that.
Always.
Because just like suicide is destabilizing, sexual immorality is destabilizing because you could blackmail people.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much you brag about it, there's shame involved.
Mm.
And so if somebody in the military or in government is sexually immoral, they could be blackmailed. Anthony Weiner, he may have, who knows, he might have realized this stuff's all on the laptop. He might be the one who told the FBI. He might say, look, if I'm going down, Hillary's going down.
He certainly got the most to lose amongst all of them. The guy could go to prison for 30 years.
Yeah. If I'm going down, Hillary's going down because I got all her emails. And that was it, right? They're like, we need a subpoena for this.
Yeah, that is a plausible explanation.
I mean, it probably didn't happen. But that's the kind of thing that could happen.
Yes.
Especially for someone demented like him.
Yeah, a sick pervert like him.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the one silver lining around the Trump presidency.
What?
The one silver lining
there is none.
Well, there's
go ahead.
People at least think they're voting against socialism.
Yeah.
They think they are.
They think. He's an interventionist, protectionist, socialist.
He's a socialist. Yeah. But people at least have the temporary illusion that they're against socialism.
Yeah, and that they're against abortion.
Yeah, and it's good.
Not that they're against homos. They can't have that.
Well, no, that you can't do that anymore.
Delusion.
No, that's over.
I mean, that's just cheered at every day.
Uh-huh.
Every day they're cheering homos.
It's just disgusting.
In the defense of homos.
But people, it's good for people to want socialism.
Well,
even if they're foolish and they're voting for a socialist, at least they want to be against socialism.
Yeah, yeah.
And socialism, I want to talk about Venezuela for just a moment. I read a story.
Okay.
They're now weighing their currency by the pound.
Instead of counting.
They got a story about a guy buying a few slices of cheese, and the guy at the cheese counter has to weigh the currency because it would take him too long
to count it.
The hyperinflation is completely out of control.
So, you know, Doug, we called for Venezuela to be invaded. In fact, we said, mark this date, September 15th. 2016.
The invasion.
I did a show called The Parable of the Colon Polyp.
Ah, yes.
You know, most colon polyps are harmless.
That's right. They are.
But
generally.
Not when they're hacked up. And he got hacked. He's a child killer.
That was the Colin Powell emails. Vulgar and just disrespectful.
Yeah.
And shows what kind of guy he really is.
Oh, yeah. And all the conservative Christians who wanted to. They wanted to enlist him to be the Republican nominee
Absolutely,
for president.
Absolutely, they did, because he's and such a paragon
thought,
of morality.
You're
and
all
virtue.
Delusional. He's a child-killing liberal.
Yeah.
They think they're rooting for somebody in the World Series, go Cubs.
Yeah, it seems that way.
That's what they think.
Yeah.
This is life or death, this stuff. Yeah. So at any rate, I called for Venezuela to be invaded.
On what grounds?
To rescue them from themselves. But the problem is there's no nation on earth wise enough to do it. And it should have been done then. So now it should be done now.
Yeah, because we're on the verge of a genuine humanitarian crisis is taking place.
Yeah.
People are going to die.
Yeah.
They're going to starve. There's going to be riots. And there's going to be war. It's going to be awful.
They're eating their pets. They're breaking into the zoo to eat the zoo animals.
Yeah. This is unprecedented that we could allow this to happen to one of our neighbors. It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just awful. They're comparing it to post-World War I Germany.
Yeah.
The inflation rate.
Absolutely horrific.
And we bear some responsibility in being a neighbor and not being equipped to help them.
And not even know. I mean, Trump hasn't even mentioned Venice. I mean, we're a dinky little radio show. We've brought it up five times now. the crisis that it is.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, and it's a socialist crisis.
It was built on socialism and lies and theft of money from the producers.
Right.
And we're doing the same thing.
And they have the world's richest oil reserves.
Right. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're sitting on oil reserves that should mean prosperity for everyone in their country.
If they would have only built, you know, poverty and crime epidemics are the result of bad government and bad religion.
Yeah.
Bad government and bad religion gives you crime epidemics and poverty.
That's right.
Epidemic poverty. And so if they would have only had a government that allowed freedom, mm-hmm. they would have been wildly wealthy by now with all those oil reserves.
Yeah, it should be a paradise of the Western Hemisphere,
yes,
Venezuela.
Right.
It should be.
Right.
But instead, it's crumbling into what could have been predicted by anyone paying attention.
Yeah, because under Trumpism, I mean under socialism, you can't even make an economic calculation. Remember you read Human Action?
Yeah,
Von Mises.
I got through about 45% of it.
It's here somewhere in the studio
in
our bookshelves.
Thick.
It's a great book, and he makes the point, Austrian economist, that when there's government intervention, which is what Trumpism is, you cannot even make an economic calculation. Mm. So say there's a beach resort in Venezuela.
Okay.
And you have it's worth like $15 million. You could get it for $3 million.
That's a great
deal. Do you buy it?
Well, I wouldn't buy it in Venezuela.
Because the interventionist government might take it.
That's right.
Like Trump says, you have no right to take your business. Why don't you have a right to take your business wherever you want to take it?
You do have.
Who does he thinks he's God? Mm-hmm. You don't have your right. I can't buy an air conditioner that costs, 40% off. I have to buy one that costs 40% more.
Well, if you're a loyal American, if you're a great American, you'll pay more.
He never did that.
No way.
Nobody does that. No. Nobody does that. Well, we all want to pay an extra $180 for our phones, exact same phone.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's right. It's socialism. It's destructive. And it harms America.
But wait a minute. Hillary's way worse. Hillary will do way worse. She'll do it faster. She'll do it more. She'll do it worse.
Well, not on free trade. She's not worse.
But she's worse. Bob, I'm telling you, she's worse. She's terrifying.
And you know what's funny? You can't make that prediction. Because under Republican administrations, our domestic spending escalated far beyond what the previous Democrats did.
Well, that's true.
And homosexuality became a
force. It's mainstream now.
Child killing is epidemic. All under Republicans. Mm. They gave us Roe v. Wade. Mm. So, hey, thank you, Doug. God bless you guys.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob and Yart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details. And that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob and Yart live on the air. Thank you.